I'm going to go first by the plan that we have, and I want to begin the particular task that Bernd has set us is to look at some of the larger political and ethical implications of accepting as a more or less governing assumption the Anthropocene hypothesis. And I think it would be sensible to think of the political and ethical implications, the sorts of things that we might do to address the kinds of difficulties that we've been landed in by human activity that has affected the Earth and its atmosphere and its biosphere and so on, at two different levels. One is the level of trying to formulate some kind of framework or ideal within which is an alternative to the current ideal within which we've landed in this mess. So how shall we think of possible alternative ways of frameworking the ways we relate to nature and to others as inhabitants of nature, such that we might be able to address or reverse some of the problems that have emerged, which the Anthropocene thesis has recognized in a particular form. The other way, the other level at which to address it is not at the level of an ideal, but what we might do right away. That is, until we can reframework it in, along much more basic, deep-going and idealistic lines, what immediate tasks should we formulate for ourselves. So I'm going to speak a little bit to both, at both levels, both the ideal and the interim policies and tasks. I think it's what the Anthropocene thesis has done is basically given us a name, apart from its claim about how to periodize geology, it has given us a very important thing, which is a bit of nomenclature or a name which mobilizes us to understand that we are accountable for many of the problems that we are in because we are responsible for them, and therefore we have a responsibility to address it. And I think the right way to try and formulate an ideal is to initially say at least this, and that is that it isn't as if the problems that we are landed in are problems that have been generated because they affect our well-being alone. I think that would be, though it's perfectly correct to say that we have done things to the atmosphere that are bad for us, it's extremely important to also say that we've done things to to nature, which is bad on its own terms, on nature's terms, and not merely because it's bad for us. I think it is an extremely important thing to recognize that that is so. And so in some previous things that I had expressed in the last 2 days, I had suggested that the way to get ourselves to believe that is to actually accept also that nature has properties that natural sciences doesn't study. That nature has value properties which make normative demands on us, and when we don't act to be in sync with those normative demands, we are in fact doing something that's not just bad for us, though it is bad for us as it turns out, but we are doing something intrinsically bad in the way our mentality and our behavior relates to the world around us. So we can only acknowledge that that is so if we acknowledge that nature contains properties that make demands on us, or elements or things, as I said in a previous talk. But, and if that is so, if nature contains normative or value demands on us, nature can't be what natural sciences study, or not just what natural sciences study. I have no phobia against natural science. It's an admirable enterprise. But it, the idea that natural sciences have full coverage of nature is, as I said in a previous talk, a superstition of modernity. There's no reason to think that nature doesn't contain elements which natural sciences don't study, but which make normative demands on us. So that's the first thing we ought to recognize in formulating an alternative ideal. Well, the next thing to notice is that if nature and its elements, things, properties, etc., make normative demands on us, to say so is in some sense to make a metaphor, because nature doesn't have intentionality. So I'm not an intentional vitalist when I say that, not at all. Nature makes normative demands on us, but it doesn't make demands on us in the way that Aldo and I might make demands on each other. It doesn't voice them. It doesn't have intentional activity of the kind that we have. It doesn't intentionally make those demands on us. But it would be parochial of us to say that just because it doesn't voice these demands and doesn't make these demands intentionally, that these are not demands. It would be a form of